I would like to start this 52nd session of the Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics. I would like first to welcome a new member of our PAC, Fuchang Wong. Maybe before we start, we'll just go around a little bit and everyone will present himself. So Fuchang is already presented, so.
Luciano Musa from CERN.
Peter Zavada from Institute of Physics of Czech Academy of Sciences, Prague.
Antonio Editato, University of Bern.
Hans Gutbrot from GSI Darmstadt and Leffi, Moscow.
John Kleimans from the University of Cape Town, South Africa.
Laszlo Inkowski from Kiev.
Alexander Chiplokov, Dunajev, PAC Secretary.
Itzhak Tsruya, Whiteman Institute.
Richard Lednitsky, Joint Institute.
Itis Mikhail, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Alexander Sorin, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Vladimir Kikilidze, Joint Institute.
Boris Sharkov, Joint Institute.
Vladimir Karinkov, Joint Institute for Nuclear Research.
Okay, so welcome everybody, and we will start with the program that you have in front of you. The first item of business is a short presentation by myself that I will just go ahead with it. Okay, so this is just a short presentation to bridge between our last PAC meeting that was back in June and the present one. The agenda, the outline of my presentation is here. I will remind you of the main recommendations from our last meeting, in particular those that are relevant for what we are going to discuss today. I will briefly mention the meeting of the Scientific Council that took place in September 19 and 20. We'll do it briefly because you will hear a more detailed and complete report right after me by Richard. Some recent developments and then the agenda of today. So the highlights of last meeting concerning NICA, I think that the main issue, big milestone in the NICA program is the booster assembly and the completion and the commissioning that was supposed to take to be completed by the end of last year. We will certainly hear a detailed update of what has happened there. In addition to that, we requested to improve the diagnostic of the accelerator complex in order to be able to deliver to the users well-identified beam without contaminations. You remember that this was one of the main issues concerning the run of the short-range correlation that took place 2 years ago. Another big issue of the whole NICA project is the infrastructure. There are many big items on the infrastructure. There have been delays in some of them, and the committee acknowledged the progress achieved and welcomed the efforts of the laboratory to reduce the delay of the construction work schedule for the infrastructure of the collider complex. One of the examples was the compressor hall that had a contract with a company, and that contract was terminated, and the new company has to be found out, and that, of course, induced some delays. just to get a view of two of the big projects, the Nika Collider. This is a picture from last August. You can see the entire ring right now. You can see the MPD hall quite advanced. The SPD hall is a little behind it. The two transfer lines for the two beams. So the whole thing is taking shape, and I believe we will see more recent pictures of the current situation of the Nika Collider. The Nika Center, the user center, a very nice building. This is the cross design of the building, and this is now in the hands of the architects that are doing the detailed design of this building. Now, concerning the MPD, MPD is doing relatively well. Two new collaborations joined recently. All the structures, organizational structures of the collaborations are in place with detector council, executive council, physics working groups. There is a lot of simulation work being done. And I will show you an example in a moment. There is a continuous effort to develop the various detector elements with the goal to have it the first stage ready for 2021. There are two critical items on this thing. One is the magnet of the MPD. I believe we will hear what's going on there. The other item, big item, is the ECAL, where China has a sizable fraction of the responsibility to build this subsystem. So there again, we will hear what the status is today. Just to give you a flavor of the scope and the quality of the simulations that are being done in the framework of the MPD, here you can see this is supposed to be pi zero going to gamma gamma and eta going to gamma gamma, measured with the ECAL, or measure through the decay through dilepton. So this is pi zero to gamma gamma, and both gammas converted. And the same for the eta. Eta going to gamma gamma, and both gammas converted. Then a bunch of studies on hyperons, lambdas, xis, and omega, resonances phi, k, sigma, and the last one, I don't remember which one it is already. But never mind, that gives you the flavor of the scopes of simulations being done in the framework of MBD. BMAT10 is also putting quite some effort in data analysis, data that were collected a couple of years ago, more than 2 years ago. First results were presented at physics conference in the summer and the fall of 2019. That was a real milestone for BMAT10. And in parallel to that, the collaboration is getting ready to complete the setup for heavy ion beams in 2021. So here is an example of the preliminary result from BMAT10. It turns out those preliminary results had some flaw and they are being revised. This is a matter of concern and has to be settled internally within the BMAT10. Now, concerning the participation of GIONR in the LHC experiment, we had a very thorough discussion about that. And as you remember, there are two projects associated to each of the three LHC teams, ALICE, ATLAS, and CMS. One project is devoted to operations and physics analysis, and the other project is devoted to detector upgrade and R&D. So the PAC consider that this separation is kind of artificial, and we recommended the GINAR directorate to consider unifying the two activities into one single project in order to better monitor and regulate the execution of the so far distinct projects. So we also found it very convenient to simultaneously review the three activities at the LHC together at the same PAC meeting, and then we decide to approve them for the same period of time so that to keep them synchronized for future submissions. So in that scheme, we propose to have two reports at each PAC meeting. One, the report in January, to be a more detailed one with oral presentation. The next one, the June meeting one, to be a more limited one, just with a short written report specifying the fulfillment of milestones. So at this LHC, PAC meeting, we have requested the three LHC experiments to present a broad project, the timeline of their project for the next 4 years, so we can have a set of milestones that we will monitor in the future. So as you see, you will see in the agenda of today, we have those three written reports that will be presented today. Now concerning experiments that are seeking continuation, we had the NA64. We didn't decide last time on NA64. It should be clear, it was not because we found anything to object on the science or in the role played by the GINAR group in this experiment. On the contrary, we recognize the relevance of the research program, and we recognize the excellent role played by the GINAR team in the design, production, test, and installation of the straw tube chamber, which are the main contribution of the GINAR group in this NA64 experiment. The criticism was that this experiment had been reviewed recently in the joint meeting with the PAC for nuclear physics, and at that joint review we made specific recommendations concerning the ratio of FTE to participants, the need to attract students, and the need to get involved in data analysis. The current proposal didn't address those recommendations, so we asked the group to answer to those recommendations what they want to do. So that's why we postponed the recommendation, and in order not to affect their current activities, we recommend that the GINAR provide sufficient resources to the group to allow continuation of their work and commitments. So as you will see today, they are coming with a revised proposal where we will see how they address these issues that we raised last time. Now there was another proposal, FASA, that also we did not approve last time, and these for scientific reasons. This experiment is going to study the space-time characteristics of hot nuclei formed in the collision of light relativistic heavy ion with heavy targets. And the criticism here is that similar work was carried out some 40 years ago at several places, at Fermilab, CERN-SPS, and the Vevatron and Bevelac. The PAC requested the authors to sharpen the scientific case, taking into account these earlier data, and to present a convincing case on how they can solve the still open question of breakup and thermalization in the multi-fragmentation of nuclei. So again, FASA is presenting to this meeting a revised version, and we will see how they are addressing this criticism. Now, the Scientific Council, as I mentioned, they had a meeting in September 1920. You will hear the report from Richard in a few minutes. I will just briefly mention those things that are relevant to us. The Scientific Council supports the efforts of the GNR Directorate concerning the priority for the NICA complex. They appreciate the first results produced in the BMATEN experiments, and they also note the commissioning and of the updated computer cluster to meet the challenges of the NICA complex. And the SC also took note of the third collaboration meetings of both the MPD and BMATEN collaborations. Now, there were some other interesting remarks made by the Scientific Council. The first one concerns this joint session that we had between our PAC and the PAC for Nuclear Physics on the neutrino program. The Scientific Council looks forward to being informed on the decision concerning the neutrino program and on the recommendations that we made at this joint session. And in particular, knowing when and how this program will be re-evaluated. In general, the Scientific Council recommends a better allocation of scientific teams to the respective PACs to be made. So that's some question again addressed to GNR management. Another interesting remark is that the Scientific Council recommends that more attention should be given to the participation of female scientists in the Scientific Councils, in the PACs, and more generally in the life of GNR at all levels. And I should mention that our PAC has zero female representation, so this is a well taken point. Now, concerning all the other recommendations that we made concerning the evaluation of the LHC experiment, concerning all the project that we are seeking continuation, the SSC endorse and support all recommendations made by the PAC-PP. In particular, that goes for NA64, that goes for FASA, and then finally they made also another interesting comment. The Scientific Council draws to the attention of the leaders of the Borexino, Panda, and Comet project to be concluded in 2019, that they should present their reports at the meeting of the PAC in February 2020. So those projects were completed, that didn't report that to us, so the Scientific Council requested, please do that. Recent developments, I think that we will hear more than what I know, and what I know is that the fourth collaboration meeting of the MPD took place at the Warsaw University of Technology on October 20-23, and the fourth collaboration meeting of the BMATEN took place at the GNR on October 15 and 16. Those were well attended and well organized meetings and reflecting the vitality of both collaborations. I know that the assembly of the booster was completed and the first technical run was successfully conducted at the end of 2019, but we will hear more details today. The GNR strategic long range plan, the final draft is already under circulation and we will hear a report. I think that the idea is that this strategic long-range plan be submitted at the next meeting of the Scientific Council, so it is really at the final stages right now. Now, the agenda of today, you have it in front of you. I will not go into it in details, but just mention the highlight. The highlights are usual, the reports on NICA, MPD, and BMA10. We have a few projects that are seeking either continuation, are being revised, or are new, and we will hear the report from the team editing the long-range plan. So with that, thank you very much. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer. If not, I will ask Richard to come and present his report on the Scientific Council meeting.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, dear colleagues and friends, I will talk about not only about Scientific Council meeting, but also on the decision of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries from the meeting which was held in November last year. So 126th session of the Scientific Council took place in 1920 September last year. It was chaired by the general director, Viktor Matveev, and co-chaired by Professor Catalin Borsa from Romania. The schedule, the agenda of the meeting is as follows. First, it was director's report, then preparation of the draft strategic plan for the long-term development of GEND Institute, visit to Wechsler-Baldwin Laboratory for the inauguration of NICA Computing Center, then recommendations of the Program Advisory Committee, committees taken at the meetings in June, reports by young scientists as recommended by the Program Advisory Committees, memberships of the Program Advisory Committees, elections of directors of Wechsler-Baldwin Laboratory and Laboratory of Radiation Biology, announcement of vacancies of positions in the directorates of joint institute laboratories, awards and prizes, and proposal for amendments to the regulations for the election of directors, for the endorsed appointment of deputy directors of general laboratories. The Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report by the director Viktor Matveev covering the recent achievements of Joint Institute in its major research directions, the progress in developing physics facilities within large projects of our institute, the decisions of the latest session of the General Committee of Plenipotentiaries in March 2019, as well as the events in international cooperation and in the field of training highly qualified scientific personnel. The Council supported the efforts of the Directorate towards constructing the basic configuration of the NICA complex, noting the completion of the main systems of the booster synchrotron and the fabrication of the yoke of solenoidal magnet for the MPD detector. The Council appreciated the first physics results produced in the BMA10 experiment and the continued analysis of the data taken earlier in this experiment. It also noted the commissioning of the updated computer cluster in Wechsler-Baldwin Laboratory. The Scientific Council took note of the holding at the Joint Institute on April 17, 2019, the third joint meeting of the MPD and BMA10 collaborations, which covered the physics programs of the MPD and BMA10 experiments and progress in detector subsystems work and in analysis of experimental data. The Council noted with satisfaction the opening of the experimental building of the factory of superheavy elements at the floor of laboratory and the launching of the factory's main facility, the DC-218 cyclotron. The Council highly appreciated the scientific and technological quality of the realization of the project to build the DC-280 cyclotron and the preparation of most and the participation of most member states of our institute. The Council noted the holding at Joint Institute on 31st May 2019 of the International Symposium, Present and Future of the Periodic Table of Chemical Elements, which attended by representatives of UNESCO, UPAP, together with eminent scientists from institute and universities of our member states and other countries. This symposium largely contributed to enhancing the awareness of the international community concerning the institute's achievements in the field of synthesis of superheavy elements. The Council noted the commissioning of two new clusters of Baikal GVD, gigavolume detector, under construction, the effective volume of which has now reached a quarter of a cubic kilometer. The Council also noted the further development of the neutrino experiments at the Kalini nuclear power plant. The Council took note of the broadening of international ties and prospects for cooperation with relevant ministries of Armenia, Poland, Cuba, as well as with the National Academy of Sciences of Belarus and research organizations of Vietnam, the People's Republic of China, and the Republic of Korea. The Council supported the efforts being taken by the Directorate to train highly qualified scientific personnel. In particular, the Council welcomed the beginning of operation at the Joint Institute from September 1, 2019, of new dissertation councils on the basis of Jenner's right to independently confer academic degrees in the Russian Federation. Implementation of this right will further attract young scientists from member states to Joint Institute. The Council congratulated Viktor Matveev for his comprehensive presentation and appreciated the emerging results which followed from choosing a good strategy and from selection of coherent priorities which distinguish Joint Institute as a world-class international scientific research organization. The Scientific Council took note of the reports concerning the current preparation of the draft strategic plan for the long-term development of Joint Institute in its major sections presented by Dmitry Naumov on particle physics, Rumen Senov on relativistic heavy ion physics and spin physics, Alexander Karpov on nuclear physics at low and intermediate energies, and Alexander Joffe on condensed matter physics and neutron nuclear physics, Jelena Nasonova on radio biology, and Nikolai Vojtishin on information technology. The speakers informed the Scientific Council of new scientific research and experiments prepared and to be carried out over the period of 2023 up to 2030 and beyond. They also suggested what scientific and technological results should be achieved, what research infrastructure should be developed, and what the future staffing needs should be. In addition, information was given about the memberships of the thematic subgroups and the organization of their works. The Scientific Council looks forward to discussing the draft document, which should also contain a strategy to increase the attractiveness of Joint Institute priority activities to young people. The Scientific Council took note of the recommendation made by the PACs at their meetings in June 2019, as reported at this session by Itzhak Tseruya, Mikhail Itkis, and by Danish Lajos Nagy. The Scientific Council requested the Directorate to consider these recommendations while preparing the topical plan of research and international cooperation for the year 2020. The resolution and the recommendations in connection with the PAC are published in these minutes. Scientific reports by young scientists were given by Ludmila Kulupayeva and Timur Tropin on neutrino oscillations analysis in the NOVA experiment and investigations of polystyrene fullerene nanocomposite thin films by neutron and X-ray reflectometry. The Scientific Council welcomes such selected reports in future. On the proposal of Directorate The Scientific Council appointed Fujian Wang from Purdue University, from USA, as a new member of the PAC for particle physics for a term of 3 years. The Council thanked the outgoing member, Nu Xu, for his successful work in this PAC. The Council appointed Maciej Kozak from Adam Mickiewicz University from Poland as a new member of the PAC for condensed matter physics for a term of 3 years. The Council thanked the outgoing member, Jan Wasicki, for his successful work in this PAC. The Scientific Council congratulated Francis Halzen from University of Wisconsin on the award of the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize for his leading role in the construction of the ice cube detector and experimental discovery of very high energy cosmic neutrinos. The Council congratulated the winners of Joint Institute Annual Prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. The Council congratulated the Director of Laboratory of Radiation Biology, Evgeny Krasavin, on the award of the Diploma of Doctor Honoris Causa of the National University of Mongolia, presented at this session. In the election of the Director of the Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, the nominated candidate, Alexander Vodopianov, did not obtain the required majority of votes. As proposed by Viktor Matveev, the director, the Scientific Council will announce new elections at the 129th session in February 2021. The Scientific Council elected Alexander Bugay as director of the Laboratory of Radiation Biology for a term of 5 years. The Council thanked Evgeny Krasavin for his successful tenure as director of this laboratory. The Council announced the vacancies of positions of deputy directors of this laboratory. The endorsement of appointments will take place at the next session of Scientific Council in February 2020. The Scientific Council discussed the amendments proposed by the director Viktor Matveev to the regulations for the election of directors and for the endorsed appointments of deputy directors of institute laboratories, which are part of the rules of procedure of the Jenner Scientific Council, and decided to continue their consideration at the next session. The Scientific Council congratulated the Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics on commissioning the NICA Computing Center. This is a landmark event and on the way to realizing the NICA complex and an important element of its research infrastructure. The Council thanked Vincenzo Cavassini, coordinator of the Bruno Pontecorvo Center of the Physics Department of the University of Pisa, for his report on the status of the center and future collaboration with Joint Institute, and wished the Bruno Pontecorvo Center success in its activity. Now about the session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. A regular session of this committee was held in Hanoi in Vietnam on 26th November 2019. It was chaired by the representative of the Russian Federation, Mikhail Katyukov. The agenda is shown on this slide, so it started by the Jenner Directorate's report, draft budget of Joint Institute for year 2020, draft contributions of the member states for the years 2021 and up to 2023, draft budget for the use of the special proposed fund of the Russian Federation, provided in accordance with the agreement between the government of the Russian Federation and Joint Institute, draft strategic plan for the long-term development of Joint Institute, membership of the Jenner Scientific Council, measures being taken for staffing the Jenner Directorate, and scientific reports by Vietnamese colleagues. The committee took note of the report presented by the director Viktor Matveev on the progress of implementation of the Jenner Plan of Research and International Cooperation for 2019 and approved the recommendations of the 125th and 126th sessions of the Scientific Council. Also, it approved the General Topical Plan of Research and International Cooperation for 2020 and the General Budget for 2020. The committee commended the work done by the General Directorate in implementing the Megascience NICA complex. It commissioned the Directorate to establish International Committee for the analysis of the expenditure and schedule for implementing the NICA complex project and submit the results of a comprehensive analysis of the project's implementation with recommendations to the General Directorate at the CP session in March 2020. The committee endorsed the plans of first experiments at the factory of super heavy elements. Also, the committee took note of the successful continuation of the work on construction of the Baikal Deep Sea Neutrino Telescope. It welcomed the preparation of a draft agreement between the Russian Ministry of Science and Higher Education and Joint Institute on cooperation and joint work on construction of the Baikal GVD Neutrino Telescope and on the participation in experimental studies in the fields of high energy neutrino astrophysics, neutrino astronomy and neutrino physics. The committee acknowledged the new results achieved in condensed matter physics studies with the IBR2 spectrometer complex, as well as the activity for the development of the concept of the new fourth generation neutron source for Joint Institute. The committee took note of the information about the decision of the government of the Republic of Uzbekistan to resume full participation in Joint Institute and its readiness to fully implement its obligations in accordance with the General Charter, as well as about the appointment of the plenipotentiary of Uzbekistan to Joint Institute. In accordance with the General Charter, it was recommended that plenipotentiary of Uzbekistan submit for consideration at the session in March 2020 proposals of the financial conditions for resuming full participation of the Republic of Uzbekistan in Joint Institute. The committee commissioned the Directorate to study the possibility of associated membership in Joint Institute and to submit the relevant proposal for consideration at the next session of the committee. For the preparation of the draft document, a working group of representatives of Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Kazakhstan, Poland, Romania and Russia will be established and the CERN representative will be invited as a consultant. The committee took note of the strengthening of partnerships with the Federal Republic of Germany, the United Mexican States and the Republic of Serbia. It endorsed, in particular, the signing of the roadmap for cooperation with the Ministry of Education, Science and Technological Development of the Republic of Serbia and the accession of Mexican partners to the NICA project. The committee welcomed the enactment of a joint institute of new dissertation councils on the basis of general's right to independently confer academic degrees. The committee also took note of the launch of a specialized international competition for general fellows, which contributes to further attracting young scientists to joint institute from member states and other countries. About financial issues. Based on the report presented by Mikhail Vasiliev, deputy head of the General Finance and Economy Office, the committee resolved to approve the budget for the year 2020 with the total income and expenditure amounting to slightly more than 218,000 million of US dollars, as well as the scale of the contributions and the contributions of the general member states for the year 2020. It also resolved to determine the provisional volumes of the budget for the years 2021, 2022, 2023 in the amounts 212, 217 and 222.67 million of US dollars, as well as the provisional amounts of the member states' contributions. The committee approved the budget for the use of the special proposed funds of the Russian Federation, allocated in accordance with the agreement between the government of Russian Federation and Joint Institute on construction and exploitation of the NICA complex for the year 2020 in the amount of 5 billion Russian rubles. The committee heard and discussed the report draft strategic plan for the long-term development of the institute presented by the director Viktor Matveyev and vice director Boris Sharkov. It commissioned the directorate to send the plan for consideration to the plenipotentiaries until 1st March 2020. Based on the report, change proposed to the membership of the Jenner Scientific Council, presented by Director Viktor Matveyev, the committee took note of the inclusion of the membership in the membership of the Scientific Council of Behzod Yuldashev from Uzbekistan, appointed by the plenipotentiary of Uzbekistan. Invited Ursula Basler from CNRS France and Anne-Isabelle Ettinger from Saclay to become members of the Jenner Scientific Council. Regarding the report, measures being taken for staffing the directorate of Jenner Institute, presented by Viktor Matveyev, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the information by the director on the search for promising candidates to be recruited as members of the directorate of Joint Institute, with a view to rejuvenating it and getting more prepared for active work to implement the ambitious goals of the seven-year plan for years 2017-2023, including in the context of the preparation of the strategic plan for the long-term development of Jenner Institute until 2030. It also accepted the proposal by the director to put into practice the scheduling of the election of the director of Jenner Institute at the March session of Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the year preceding the year of completion of the office of the current director. It also supported the proposal by the Jenner director to invite first Deputy Minister of Science and Higher Education of the Russian Federation, Grigory Trubnikov, to the position of the first Vice Director of Jenner Institute, with the assignment to him of the mandate and responsibility for preparing program for future development of the Institute, for heading the management of the NICA mega project, and for implementing the coordination functions of Joint Institute Administrative Director until his approval in this position in accordance with Joint Institute rules by the Committee of Plenipotentiaries in March 2020. It took note of the proposal by the Director of Joint Institute on the readiness of the Jenner Directorate to promote the nomination of Grigory Trubnikov for position of the director of Joint Institute in the next election of the director, taking into account his knowledge and experience, as well as the statement of the plenipotentiary of the government of Russian Federation about his readiness, in accordance with the Jenner Charter, to nominate Grigory Trubnikov to the position of the director of Joint Institute in the next election of the director. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries heard two scientific reports, Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology Today and Tomorrow, presented by Tran Tuan Anh, Vice President of the Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology, and current status of R&D in the atomic energy field and the project of a research reactor in Vietnam, presented by Tran Chit Hang, President of Vinatom. The committee appreciated the proposal of the director to establish a working group for developing a plan of cooperation between the Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology, Vinatom, and Joint Institute to support the project of a new research reactor in Vietnam. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries expressed gratitude to the organizers and to the plenipotentiary of the government of Vietnam for the high quality preparation and conduct of this Committee of Plenipotentiaries session in Hanoi. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you very much, Richard. Any questions for Richard? Yes, please.
I'm looking in the plans for the budget for 2021 and on, and I see that it is reduced by something like 6 million. Is there any explanation for this, or is just a fluctuation?
So you mean 2021, 22, 23? So you may see that in 2020 we have more, yes, 218. So the reason is that there are some debts, yes, especially from Russian Federation, and we get this money during these years, as well as there is no more increase which was in previous years. In this period, there is only slight increase due to the inflation.
Okay, no further questions. Thank you very much, Richard. And now we have the report on the strategic long-range plan, and we have listed here Boris Sharkov and Dmitry Naumov for this presentation.
Dear Mr. Chairman, dear members of the Program Advisory Committee, I will briefly inform you about the strategic long-range plan development. And as Itzhak already said, we are in the final stage. The International Working Group has been established in order to organize the elaboration of the strategic long-range plan of GINER, and this is the list of the members, and I don't go into details. All the activity and all the strategy of the elaboration of this long-range plan is divided into activities. On the left side, you see the strategic long-range plan for basic physics, science, innovative development, and education. And the right-hand side, you see the development of GNR as the international intergovernmental scientific research organization. You see that we will report today about the activities related to basic science. And the number of thematically oriented subgroup have been set up, and those subgroups cover the core research areas of the GNR scientific program. You see here the 7 subgroup on nuclear physics, particle and high energy, neutrino physics, relativistic heavy ion, and spin physics. They are marked as in red because these activities are related to the this present pack. Then we had the condensed matter and neutron nuclear physics, theoretical physics, radio industrial biology, and information technologies and high performance computing. 7 groups. Members of the subgroups are the outstanding experts from GNR, member states, and world scientific community. The the parallel activities run about the human relation of policy, social engineering infrastructure, advancement of legal administrative function of the institute, and international relations. That part of the activities will come later. In the previous session of the Scientific Council in September, the working subgroup reported their draft of the strategic plan. The results of the about 2 years activities of that, and you see here 7 speakers: Dmitry Naumov, Roman Tsenov, Alexander Karpov, Alexander Yoffe, Elena Nasonova, and Nikolai Vaitishin. They gave the short presentation in Scientific Council about the results they presented into the Upper International Working Group. Scientific Council recommended to the Upper International Group to ensure preparation and integrated document based on materials presented by thematical subgroups, and set up the editorial board and recommend to inform the Committee of Plenipotentiary at the next session in November about the progress in preparing the strategic plan for long-term development of GNR. It has been done, as was reported by Professor Lednitsky in the session, November session in Hanoi. The upper group proposed to these subgroups the structure of the document should be presented. It's quite clear. It's the executive summary, introduction, what has been done in laboratory, medium-range plan, long-range plan, with motivation, proposed research, international context, and needed resources. That means equipment, infrastructure, manpower for each progress of a project, medium and long-range projects. The summary with the timeline and integrational context. Well, there are seven groups. I will start with the nuclear physics. The key persons here were Professor Oganisyan, Sergei Dmitriev, and Alexander Karpov. And you know the basic direction of research of this laboratory are heavy and super heavy nuclei, light exotic nuclei, nuclear reaction studies, radiation effects, and accelerator technologies. The summary of this subgroup was very clear: the realization of the experimental program of the in the area of super heavy element research, development of experimental setups at the, this Xi factory, construction of the special radiochemical complex of the first class to analyze the super heavy elements, their chemical properties, and continuation of experimental program on light exotic nuclei at the modernized U400M cyclotron with the use of Aquilina 2 fragment separator. The several activities towards the upgrades of the research infrastructure, and what is very important, the total available beam time of three operational cyclotrons expected to increase up to 15,000 hours annually. That will allow to formulate the user's policy and open facilities for external users. Well, relativistic heavy ion and spin physics, I will skip this because, sorry, not yet. The this is about NICA. First priority next decade is the realization of the NICA experimental program. NICA is the mega science flagship project of our institute. And this first priority activity program is based on heavy ion up to gold collisions at center of mass energy and the range 2 to 11 AGV, and collision of transversely and longitudinally polarized protons and neutrons at center of mass energy up to 27 GeV. Well, and of course, this group underlies the involvement of the GNR scientists in external experiments. This PAC knows very well the activities at CERN, BNL, DESI, FAIR-GSI. And the key factor here is a mutual benefit from the exchange of new scientific information and know-how, and GNR participation will depend on discovery potential of experiments and leading role of them in the, GNR researchers. And continuing participation experiments in a 61 COMPASS at SPS, ALICE, STAR at RIC, and what is important, is strategically important for GNR participation in experiments at future electron-ion colliders, collider facility to be built in the US, and fixed target experiment FAIR GSI. GNR strategy for cooperative research at other accelerator centers should be linked closely to the updated European strategy for particle physics. You know, it's under elaboration at the moment now, and we expect that this European strategy for particle physics will be finished this year. particle physics. My co-speaker, Dmitry Naumov, will be talking about that. Therefore, I jump to the radiobiology and astrobiology. Here, the key persons are Professor Evgeny Krasavin, new elected Alexander, director of the laboratory for radiation biology, Alexander Bugay, and Elena Nasovna presented it in the scientific council. Modern trends in radiobiology are covered. Those are the fundamental radiobiological research, radiation safety of deep space flights, very important, very exciting activity, fundamental aspects of radio ecology, radiation and nuclear medicine, origin of life on the Earth, that means astrobiology, and applied radiation technologies. And the in summary of this group, the molecular radiobiology, radiation cytogenesis, radiation physiological studies on primates is top priority research because the experiments with primates are allowed and could be performed here at Dubna, and it attracts very much the interest of the international community. Radiation medicine and mathematical modeling of radiation-induced effects, astrobiology, radiation protection research, what is very important, that main future topics and required infrastructure identified, but this subgroup very, very clearly. Condensed matter and neutron physics, here are the key persons are Viktor Aksyonov, Valery Shvetsov, and Alexander Yoffe. Yoffe was the chair of this subgroup. And here the activities are focused, first of all, a new Dubna neutron source, so-called DNS force generation. And this new neutron source will provide shortened neutron pulses, however containing the same number of neutrons as at ESS at Lund. And DNS-4, not just another neutron source replacing the operational one at the moment, but one of the best in the world. The summary of this group is very clear. There are short-term perspectives, related to the development and upgrade of the existing IBER-2 instruments. Already now there are examples how a gene of more than tenfold increase in efficiency is achieved, and start up of the ERN source at design parameters in the next coming years, and long-term perspective and a new neutron source in order to replace the IBER-2 after the end of its lifetime, as this so-called super-booster Neptune. Information technology and scientific computing. Here are the key persons, of course, Vladimir Korenkov, the director of this laboratory, and speaker was a young man, Nikolai Vaitishin, very good presentation. Multifunctional information and computing complex of GNR is in a very good shape and in a very good swing and improving. And the strategy of information technology and scientific computing in GNR is very clear. It is expandable, worldwide, dynamically evolving IT ecosystem that combines a variety of technological solutions, state-of-art computing concepts and methodologies. And purposes significantly reduce the time spent on the implementation of projects that require computing resources and IT expertise. And the beneficiaries are, of course, the GNR itself, member states, and international collaborators. Well, there is a identified in the long-range strategy plan for up to 2030 and beyond, the list of the key projects and the relative timelines for major projects of GNR is presented in this integrated picture. Transparency, where you can see here the list of the projects and their a timeline for their development. You see for several of them the decision will be taken in future, and before those decisions some R&D and design activities are foreseen, and prototyping and so on and so far. But you see that there is a clear vision of our subgroups and of the all involved scientists, what will happen with the activities on the site and GNR on the in the long range perspective. What will happen? I will just come to the present situation. All these activities has been done. And as Itzhak already said, we are in front of a presentation in Scientific Council for approval, and therefore what is important, we are now in a contact, close contact to the members of the upper international group. They provide us with their comments, amendments, and corrections. The editorial group, which will be implemented, and at the moment we are in a phase where the results are reported to the program advisory committee. As soon as Scientific Council, we hope so, will approve the integrated document, it will be presented for approval to Committee of Plenary Potentials in March 2020, and then the we hope so, there will be green light for printing of the respective book. What is essential for the whole activity of this international group and elaboration of this plan? That this strategic long-range plan will form the basis of the next GNR seven-year plan for the period 24-2030. It is very important that we are presenting the strategic view how the science should evolve and progress in GNR, and on that basis the new scientific seven-year plan will be built. And you can see all the documents are available on the website Indico GNR, and here I stop, and you see that the institute has the strategy. And now I thank you for attention and invite my co-speaker Dmitry to give the details of the activities of the subgroup particle physics and neutrino. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Boris. Maybe we hear the second part of this presentation, and if there are any questions, we ask them at the end of the second part.
GNR long-term strategy plan in particle physics and astrophysics. So first let me give you a short preface and introduce some terminology which was used to prepare this document. The 24-2030 period corresponds to the midterms, which will be denoted by MT, and 2031-2037 is the long-term period, which will be abbreviated as LT in what follows. The particle physics, denoted here as PP, in my talk is everything concerning to the particle physics except NICA, which was covered by Professor Sharkov in his previous talk. Sorry. And the reported strategy corresponds to two chapters in number 6 and number 7 in the entire GNR draft. It is a consolidated effort of DLNP and VB LHEP laboratories, researchers. And yet, it is not equivalent to a midterm and long-term peer-reviewed 7-year plan. So this is just a strategy and some funding which are requested in this strategy may change with time when more careful evaluation will be taken. So first, let me start with a maybe kind of strange question. Why any further development of particle physics is required at all? First, the standard model is firmly established nowadays, both theoretically and experimentally, and there are already 55 Nobel Prizes given for it so far. So this is the most successful model which explains the entire majority of particle physics data. And all particle physics is in exceptionally good or in a very good agreement with all the predictions of the standard model. And we are now in a kind of a situation which we had something like 100 years ago when there was a famous quotation like, there is nothing new to be discovered in physics now. All that remained is more and more precise measurements. And this saying is actually attributed to Lord Kelvin around 1900. This is too sensitive, sorry.
Excuse me.
Yes.
You allow me to interrupt a second.
Yes, please.
I don't agree with your statement. Neutrino oscillations are beyond the standard model.
Wait a second. I don't know how to... Well, okay. Actually, he never said that. And this is a paraphrase of Albert Michelson saying, who in 1894 stated that it seems probable that most of the grand underlying principles have been firmly established. And the future truth of physical science are to be looked for in the sixth place of decimals. So, why any further development of particle physics? Actually, the shortages of the standard model come from the cosmology. The baryon asymmetry of the universe, lack of the dark matter particle candidate, and the lack of a hypothetical dark energy candidate in standard model, these are three main issues of the standard model, which, except of that, explains everything greatly. All these issues are driven by cosmology. Yet, a standard model cannot explain the mass hierarchy of quarks and leptons and their weak mixing. Therefore, beyond the standard model theory is needed, and there are three main directions to search for the beyond standard model. First is identify phenomena which are divergent from the standard model expectations at high energies. Then look for specific predictions of new models and compare them to the data, and increase the measurement precisions to test further the standard model predictions. And the crucial point here would be to understand the universe evolution, which could give a deeper insight in particle physics, because nowadays these two sciences are really deeply intertwined to each other. So, to understand the universe evolution, one is typically searches for the sources of ultra-high energy photons and neutrinos in the cosmic radiation. And there is a brand new science burn, which is a multi-messenger astronomy. One hopes to identify relic neutrinos, and this will be certainly yet another Nobel Prize. Diffuse neutrino observation also might give us very important information about the evolution of the universe. And a new instrument which was recently put in operation is the gravitational wave observation, which is the way we can hear the universe. So the mid-term and long-term strategy should be an appropriate balance between these directions based on a sensible selection principles. The selection principles which were put in the operations are the following. The projects should have great discovery potential. The program should be attractive to the worldwide community and to the GNR member states. At the same time, we should maintain and develop critical expertise and guarantee an unceasing stream of scientific results at GNR. And finally, budget should fit in the realistic budget of the GNR. GNR leadership is required in this project as well. So, what are the five pillars of GNR particle physics and astroparticle physics program? First is accelerator physics and technologies, then neutrino physics, multi-messenger astronomy, the detector technologies, and finally education and outreach is also one of the main pillars. So, concerning the accelerator physics and technologies, these are the major experiments. There are more, but I am just mentioning the most important and most costly experiments. These are ATLAS, CMS, and ELIS at the LHC. We are seeking for the future colliders and certainly a flagship GNR experiment is NICA, which was also covered by Professor Sharkov in his talk. So for ATLAS experiment and CMS, the proposed research relates to the more careful studies of the proton structure, QCD, the testing of the standard model and searches for the physics beyond the standard model and precision measurements. And there is a very clear and well thought plan for the different phases of ATLAS and CMS upgrades. So I'm not going to read all that, so all this is in the document. So there are many hardware contributions in ATLAS and CMS. For the future colliders, it is not yet decided by the community what will be the future collider. There are various options like electron-positron or electron-proton and various combinations of that, and even the location is not chosen. Therefore, people here are working on the physics program of these future colliders and on the accelerator technologies. I'm sorry, it's too sensitive, this pointer, some way. So, and we are going to participate in development of novel detectors, in particular compact forward colorimeters based on micromegas detectors which are developed at GNR. And also our fellows participate in theoretical programs for calculation of a complete one-loop diagrams for the electron-positron annihilation and so on. Coming to the neutrino physics and astrophysics, so we have the world's largest neutrino program, and I am going to briefly mention that. So the multi-messenger astronomy is dealt with Baikal GVD, Taiga, which is experiment searching for ultra-high gammas, and gravitational wave detector, which is not yet in the program, but we are thinking to joining existing detectors and learning these techniques and maybe considering even to build one in Russia. For mass hierarchy and CP violation, there is also a dedicated program with the giant, the largest in the world, Juno detector, which is the liquid scintillator detector with reactor antineutrinos, NOVA accelerator experiment in the US, and we are considering now either to join DUNE or HK. We're already kind of entering DUNE, but also HK is on the table for the consideration. For the dark matter, there are several activities like DarkSide 50 and DarkSide 20 kiloton detector, Argo and Edelweiss, which is currently on here. Particular properties of neutrinos are studied in DANCE, NewGen, and Ricochet and GEMMA 3. And except of Ricochet, all these experiments are at Kalinin Power Station, where we have now a really big lab. And the physics topics there are measurement of magnetic moment, coherent neutrino scattering, and search for sterile neutrino. And so this is the plan. The timeline for different topics. For the accelerator physics, the midterm plan is shown here. So it's ATLAS and CMS. Thank you. By years, so you can see in this table, the main physics goal and including the budget for the ATLAS and CMS, Future Colliders and NICA SPD. And by colors, it is written what kind of phases is foreseen, like R&D, construction commission, and data taking, stopping, or decision point. So the accelerator physics and technologies, the long-term plan, basically the same experiments remain, and but they are gradually entering the green zone. They will be taking data in the 2030s. For the neutrino physics and astrophysics, Baikal GVD is constantly taking data, and constantly there is an R&D to upgrade the detectors to account for the new technologies. And up to 2027, we are going to have a phase two when the volume will reach 1.2 cubic kilometer, and further it will be increased by 2.4 kilometers. Juno will be completely in a green zone, searching for neutrino mass ordering, and there is a rich program. And accelerator-based experiments like NOAA, Juno, Hyper-K, there is this complicated structure of commissioning, R&D, and so on. So, but then yet we have another activities like dark matter, gammas, and so on. So they are all shown here. So this is the long-term activity, including the money. So by 2037, we are going to have 2.4 cubic kilometer detector in the northern hemisphere, and Juno and Dune and Hyper-K will still be running. Yeah. And this one is important, is that in 2030s, we believe to be knowledgeable enough to take a serious role in gravitational wave detectors, and eventually a money allocation should be increased by 35 million by then. So concluding, dark energy, dark matter, so these are the key issues of the standard models, what rules them all, what binds them. There is a funny saying, one ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them. So this is a famous story by Tolkien. And our strategy is to explore different paths to find the true route. So by these different paths, we really mean to explore all possible ways. So this is an example of that. So, colliders, detectors, and multi-messengers, there are many paths to the one ring. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So maybe we have a few minutes to questions either to each one of the two speakers. Yes. So Boris, you are still there?
Yes.
Okay. So Antonio, please.
Yeah. I repeat my question, maybe you didn't get it. So I think neutrino oscillations are already physics beyond the standard model, and if you don't believe so, please explain to me why. And the second thing, I appreciate very much the future plans for neutrino physics, although I repeat, I stress again that whenever GNR is involved in an early phase in competing experiments, soon one must decide which one of the two or the three should be adopted. So this is particularly the case of Hyper-K and Dune. So I really look forward that a decision is taken, because having two competing experiments in-house is never a good approach.
All right. Okay. Let me begin with maybe the second question as the most urgent. I think we are going to decide which experiment to join on the scale of 1 or 2 years. So definitely it will not be in the midterm and not long-term program. So in these terms, we already identified which one to join. Shortly, in 1 to 2 years from now. So we are considering. So you know, the Actually, I think the situation is really simple here because we are already deeply involved in NOVA, and we are already deeply involved, not that deeply, but somehow through you also, through your group in Dune. But as you know, this political situation with visas and things like that with the US, so this is something which introduces an uncertainty. Therefore, we want to keep a possibility to consider Hyper-K. But hopefully, this will change within 1 year. Concerning neutrino oscillations and standard model, indeed, maybe what I will say is not the common view, but in my opinion, neutrino oscillations, indeed, this saying is typically repeated at many circumstances, but I don't agree that neutrino oscillations is a physics beyond the standard model. Let me explain you why. The essence of the standard model is not the particle content. It's the way particles do interact. So this is this particular SU2 left U1 symmetry. And this symmetry which drives everything. A standard model can encompass any number of particles, like four or five doublets of quarks or leptons or whatever, given that they agree with data. But also, masses of neutrinos can be easily incorporated as masses of quarks in the standard model. Once you incorporate masses, you immediately and automatically have neutrino oscillations within the standard model. Therefore, this is my opinion that this is not the physics beyond the standard model which we are really looking for. We are looking for different interactions distinct from the standard model, not just yet another particle and just mass term. This is my opinion, right?
Okay, I have a general question for Boris. When you extrapolate into the future beyond 10 and 15 years, there is inherently a very large error bar there. Uncertainties, in particular, since you have chosen in the preparation of this long-range plan, you have chosen to keep a very broad portfolio of activities without really making any priorities. So, as we move along, my question to you is that as we move along, you may need to revise or to update or to modify the vision. Is there any mechanism for that you foresee?
Yes, of course. As usual, all the strategies in the world are revised and updated after several years. Therefore, of course, it will be revised, I think, in 5-7 years, like at CERN as well, and particle physics every, 6 years are updated. And therefore, the answer is yes, and definitely we will do it. But what is essential that GNR really has a very wide and broad portfolio of activities, and what I presented in the final slides is the essence, very important strategical projects which are defined by the subgroups as the future goals for the certain topics of our research. Therefore, the priorities have been set and by these subgroups, and they are clearly reflected in our document. Please have a look.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hans.
I think you may have missed some of his last two slides where he said that the continuation of experiments is not a self-fulfilling prophecy, but is really evaluated according to the scientific merits and the leadership of Jenner. So just to go along as passengers on a train, that's no more in the strategy. That's actually a different change. And if you look at his last slide, he has the pillars, and within these pillars, of course, people of Jinnah have to decide what is their priority, and those who are not priority, they will stop. So at the end, you will not have a metro or a Auchan or one of those big supermarkets. You are not getting everything.
I can only add that the continuous involvement of the program advisory committee is extremely important in this respect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other question? Yes, Peter.
Is there any emergency to adopt this long-range plan by March 2020? Because I see you started in September. And in whatever 5 months, you are already ready with all the ideas for the next 15 to 20 years. It looks to me quite a short period to decide for so long a future.
No. So. I said that the International Working Group was set up in 2016, and the subgroup have been set up 2017. That means in September, they reported the 2 years results of their activities. Just September, where the first time they presented the results of 2 years activities. Therefore, it's really very, how to say, large and deep and thorough process has been behind that. Now, I just reported this. We are in the final stage from September on to the March, where we go through the program advisory committees, exchange of the amendments and ideas within the subgroups for upper international group, and there is some kind of final phase of the whole long, about 3 years long process.
Okay, thank you very much. And we move then now to, after this series of broad reports, we go really to the main topics of our agenda, and we will start with the report on the NICA infrastructure development. The progress towards the realization of the NICA project by Anatoly Sidorin.
Where is microphone? Dear PAC members, dear colleagues, my report will be dedicated to progress in the NOVA, what I have to do. Is it better? Dear PAC members, first photo. Opposite. This photo was made in December of this year at the beginning of the NICA booster commissioning procedure in the local control room of the booster power supply system, and my main part of my report will be dedicated to status of the booster assembly and commissioning, including Hilux booster transport line, and a few words I will say about preparation for the collider, NICA collider assembly. And I remind you what is the booster. The booster cryomagnetic system is located inside the yoke of the synchrophasotron, and the booster repeats geometry of the synchrophasotron, and the booster have four straight sections, which I used for beam injection, beam extraction, beam acceleration, and electron cooling of the circulating beam, at the plata of the magnetic field. And a few words about transport line from the heavy ion linear accelerator to the booster. This line consists of 7 quadrupole lenses, 2 dipole magnets, debuncher, beam diagnostics, and another technical elements. This line was assembly of this line was completed in July of the last year. Required vacuum conditions and power supply system was completed in the October of the last year, and in the December was demonstrated possibility to inject the beam from linear accelerator to the booster. And this part of the booster is ready to operation with the beam. And most important and most challenging system of the booster is its cryomagnetic system, which is located inside the yoke of the synchrophasotron, as it's shown at this picture. And first element, first dipole magnet was transported into the synchrophasotron yoke in September of 2018. 1.5 years ago, and 1 year ago, I repeat here transparency from Sergei Kostromin report 1 year ago. 1 year ago, we see schedule of the booster assembly and commissioning like this, and in April or May of 2019, we plan to provide technological run. And in October, November of the last year, we plan to start commissioning with the beam. What happens with this, our plans, and why we now have a delay in relation to this plan by about 1 year? To explain this, I would like to show you structure of the regular period of the booster cryomagnetic system, and regular period includes two model of dipole magnets and model of quadrupole doublet, and this model of the quadrupole doublet includes two lenses, corrector magnet and pickup station. And first delay was related in this construction fabrication of pickup stations. Pickup stations were purchased was constructed in accordance with the contract with Germany firm, and in accordance with this contract, term of delivery of the pickup station was indicated as October of 2018, but first serial pickup station was transferred to Dubna in May 2019. It is delay about half of year, determines our schedule, and after obtained of the pickup station, we start mounting of the quadrupole models, and after test of the first models, we obtained strange behavior of our quadrupole lenses, and at a few quadrupole lenses, after cycle of cooling down and warm up of the lens, we measured displacements of optical axis of the lens up to about half of millimeter. From the side of the beam dynamics, this behavior is not crucial, and this displacement can be compensated by corrector magnets. But we investigate this effect and found that displacement of optical axis is determined by displacement of the coil inside the yoke of the magnet. Displacement of the yoke in the magnet will lead after a few cycles of cooling and heating to can lead to broke of the insulation of the coil. And if this behavior will be not fixed, we have a risk to provide only a limited number of cycles of the booster operation. And we need to improve insulation in order to avoid this behavior. and we did very hard decision. All blocks of the quadruple lenses was disassembled, yoke was extracted, coil was extracted from the yoke, insulation layer was thickness of the insulation was increased, and after that we assembled again all the quadruple blocks. This procedure required about half of a year. Why so long period? And it is one of the general problems of our project now. We have problems with the relation with our subcontractors and so on, but we have our own problems. My limitation for the moment is lack of the qualified personnel. We cannot provide at our test, cryogenic test facility for assembly of the magnets. We cannot provide day and night operation. We have not enough qualified personnel to provide required number of staffs, shifts, number of shifts. This we work on this problem, and to realize our plans related to the collider construction of the collider magnetic system, we need to fix this problem during nearest half of year. We work in this direction, but it is our problem. Unexpected problems in technology we can predict. We provide completely new technologies for magnet construction, for assembly of the accelerators, and so on. We cannot presume all peculiarities of our technology. But in principle, our responsibility to provide required staff for this procedure. And for the moment, all magnets of the collider, of the booster, are fabricated and transferred into the ring, and assembly is practically completed. About another elements of the booster, the beam injection system is located in first straight section, and in this straight section we have bypass system for liquid helium, liquid nitrogen and current, and elements of the beam injection system. It is electrostatic septum and Kika. Electrostatic septum was constructed by company Crea System and HiVac. It was transferred to our institute. We provide vacuum tests of this equipment, and now it is ready to be installed into the booster. The same is related to injection electrostatic Kika, which was constructed by in cooperation with Bevatech and Pink companies. Second straight section is used to locate measurement period, which will be on the top of the magnet of the synchrophasotron, and accelerating station of the booster. Accelerating station of the booster was constructed in the Butker Institute. Last year we provided final test of the accelerating system with new control system with field cycle imitator. Together with our colleagues from Novosibirsk, the stations was prepared for installation at nominal position, and now we install both sections, both accelerating stations at the ring, and under preparation connection of the vacuum systems of the booster and RF stations. At the second straight section of the booster at the top of the magnet are also located elements of the booster power supply system, two sources, current sources, switching technique and equivalent load. Another element, most powerful power supply, is located in the basement of the synchrophasotron building. And also in the basement is located local control room of the power supply system. And the third straight section of the booster will be located extraction, beam extraction system, the elements Kika and two sections of the septum is under construction in Butker Institute in Novosibirsk as a part of the transport line from the booster to the nucleotron, and these elements will be transferred, delivered to our institute in this month, and we hope to start installation of these elements in March onto its position, their position in the booster. And here photo shows status of assembly of bypass at this section. Bypass for liquid helium, nitrogen and current. And last straight section locates electron cooling system. Electron cooling system now is prepared for test operation, and assembly of the vacuum systems of the booster and electron cooling system is in progress. Also in very good conditions we have diagnostic and control system. Here you can see a few racks of different systems, and practically all systems are prepared for operation together with booster. Now we provide assembly of the vacuum system of the booster quadrant by quadrant, and what our plans for the commissioning procedure. Commissioning procedure was started in 23 of December of the last year, and first stage of the commissioning is tuning of power supply system and test of energy evacuation system on equivalent load, and this point is under realization now. Next step will be quadrant by quadrant test of vacuum system. In parallel with two these points, we provide assembly of the measurement period, which is necessary to provide cooling of the cryomagnetic system. And next step will be cooling of cryomagnetic system, test of thermometry and quench detector detection system. After successive test of this system, we can start test of the cryomagnetic system with current. And result of this stages has to be demonstration working cycle of the magnetic system. After that, after completion of the beam pipe, total beam pipe, we can start test of the booster with the ion beam. What is the most critical point in this program? In my opinion, it is second point which related to test of vacuum system. Length of the vacuum system of each quadrant is about 40 meters, and it includes a few tens of vacuum connections. It includes two vacuum volumes, insulating vacuum volumes and beam pipe. Inside the insulating vacuum volumes, we have liquid nitrogen and liquid helium systems. And in so large, one of the challenges of the booster is to obtain ultra-high vacuum inside the beam pipe at the level of 10 to the minus 11 torr. And such amount of work and in such big a volume to have so low pressure of residual gas, there is no experience in Russian Federation. We will provide this work for first time. And we hope we have experience for obtaining of such a vacuum in small volumes. And we hope that we provide all procedure, assembly procedure with very very good technology, but I cannot predict results. The same plans for commissioning we can see in the form of the table here, and for the end of this year you can see indication of possibility to work together with nucleotron. The commissioning of the booster with the beam if all previous procedure will be successful, we can start in the middle of the May, and at the end of this year, in principle, we can provide operation with Nucleotron, but it will depend on two additional works. We need to assemble beam transport line from the booster to the Nucleotron. This transport line is under construction in Butker Institute in Novosibirsk, and all elements of this line will be transferred to our institute in September of this year. In 2 months, we need to assemble and test of this system. And another point which can limit our experimental possibility to work together booster and Nucleotron is our compressor power. At the existing compressor power, we can try to operate booster and Nucleotron, but with very high level of technical risks. The level of technical risk is about 50%. And stable operation can be provided only after completion of new compressor building. And what is related for our plans for the collider assembly? Assembly of the booster was very important lesson for all our team. And now we understand that collider, we need to start assembly of the collider as early as possible. And in our nowadays plans, we plan to start assembly of the collider at the moment when the building will be ready for this procedure. We expect that in this summer it will be completed, and we will start with mounting of the dipole magnets, and now we have enough dipole magnet to start assembly of the collider, Nucleotron collider beam transport light, and we are ready to start mounting of first insertion device, first RF station, which was collider barrier bucket station. It was successfully tested at Butker Institute in Novosibirsk, and now it is already in Dubna, and we will provide test of the barrier bucket system at our test bench, and in July or in August it will be installed at the collider. In accordance to request of the Machine Advisory Committee, our group prepared interim report on the NICA project process under edition by academician Mishkov. And it includes information about all systems of the accelerating complex, and you can find this information on our website. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Anatoly, for this presentation, and good luck for the heavy program that you have ahead of us this year. Any questions, comments? Yes, Luciano.
So you mentioned in the slide 10 this issue of the displacement of the winding inside the yoke. So what I've not understood is whether the retrofit work that is being carried out was done by the company at its premises,
or
it was done by you? And
the technology, design and technology of the magnet production was developed in our institute. And only yoke of the magnet is fabricated by another company. And we provide fabrication of the winding, and we put the winding into the yoke, control geometry of the yoke and winding and so on. It is our own technology.
Okay. Ask a second question on the slide 27 when you show the commissioning schedule. You expressed some concern you indicated as the most critical phase the vacuum test. Now, does this table contain a contingency, or that is now assuming that all...
In principle, we have about 1.5 months between operation of the booster with beam and completion of the technological run. And if you have some delays in the vacuum system test, we have some reserve in time.
Thank you.
A small question. You mentioned the vacuum system as one of the critical items in your plans. And according to this timetable that is right there on the screen, you have 3 months for checking the vacuum system. So 1 month is already over, so you must have already some ideas how those vacuum tests are going.
It is optimistic, If all elements is excellent, we need such a time. But we have about 1.5 months of time reserve. Mm-hmm. It is very optimistic. Usually, maybe it is also a lesson for us. We demonstrate for PAC members our optimistic prediction. From time to time, very optimistic predictions. But in principle, it is possible. It is possible. We know how to provide tests of the vacuum system, but we can have unexpected problems.
I think Isaac was asking how this is progressing, since in principle, according to this table, you have already started.
Yes.
Is the work progressing according to expectations, or you have already encountered?
Yes, yes. Now we provide test, tuning and test of the power supply system, and second quadrant of the booster cryomagnetic system, practically ready to vacuum tests.
Yes.
Short point. I mean, you said this is new in Russian Federation to have such a good vacuum, but I guess you have prepared yourself for that, because all this high, ultra-high vacuum needs a certain culture from the very start of any production of an item.
Yes.
I think you did
We have a few stents, but... to obtain vacuum at about a few meters of length in vacuum system of a few meters, and 40 meters, it is different. Maybe different business.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you very much again, Anatoly. We are now going to break for a coffee, and we will be back at 10 past 11.